Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Azure podcast with your host Sam Foote
and Alan Armstrong.
If you're new here, we're a pair of Azure and Microsoft 365 focused IT security professionals.
It's episode 15 of season 5. Sam and I had a recent discussion around Microsoft's identity-centric security service edge solution, Entra Global Secure Access. Here are a few things we covered. What is SSE and Entra Global Secure Access solution? What is Entra Internet Access for Microsoft 365? What is Entra Internet Access and Entra Private Access?
We've noticed that a large number of you aren't subscribed. If you do enjoy our podcast, please do consider subscribing. It would mean a lot to us for you to show your support to the show.
It's a really great episode, so let's dive in.
Hey Alan, how are things this week?
Hey Sam, they're not too bad. Busy week as always. How about you? How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been really good. Our remote team is meeting up in the office this week, which is exciting because that doesn't often happen. It's always good to see everybody, in the flesh, so to speak. So yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been to the office, I think, this year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think most of my week this week has really been about finding the limits, shall we say, of 365 Copilot. I'm actually, really loving that AI solution. Should we call it that? It does seem to really help with productivity.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've had chat and opportunity to test it out, haven't we? And it has been quite useful, actually. Yeah, you're right. Surprising how you get into it, isn't it? I think you think, I'm not too sure if I'm going to use it or not. But then it just flows, to be fair, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's sort of adjusting your, I don't know, perception to some of the things that you do. You know, if we're building like designs, architecture plans, low-level designs, X, Y, and Z, I think it's kind of like you sort of have to train yourself to think, is there a way that I could, build a prompt to actually generate a lot of what I need? I'm finding it really useful for like user guidance documentation, things like that. And don't get me wrong, it does hallucinate. It comes up with all sorts of stuff sometimes. But as a starting point, and especially what I really like it for is that sometimes it can come out with some really good structures, and it can sort of give you your starting points. You always have to, go through it, check it in. Rewrite things, add more context that it doesn't know about. But as a time saver, I think it's doing really well, to be honest with you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but hope we get to keep it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, because of the licensing, we've got it for a year, so yeah, you should at least have it for a year. That's for sure. So this is really good. So, jumping from one, I'll call it hype train, to the next. Actually, this one have AI in it? Yeah, because it's not quite at that level, I don't think. But you're definitely very excited for this product. And to be fair, when we talk about it, I don't really hear any sort of negative things being talked about it, to be totally honest with you. So, what are we talking about this week?
Yeah, so we did an episode, I think last season, maybe, I don't know, I can't remember what episode it was, but it was when it first got announced. So we're going to talk about Microsoft's Security Service Edge, Global Secure Access. It's probably been out for some time now, but a lot of it was under private preview, and I think well, now Microsoft have released a lot more of it into the public preview with some other parts still in private. But it's there for everyone to sort of try out now, at least before it gets released. So, yeah, it's definitely worth bringing back up. And now I've had a chance to have a go at, you know, using it and things like that, I can give a bit more feedback and experience with it this time.
Okay, yeah. So should we start from the sort of beginning, you know, and sort of explain what a security service edge solution is and, you know, why do organizations have them?
Yeah, so the concept of a security service edge is, I say, relatively new. It's probably 3 or 4 years. I say 3 or 4 years, maybe 2 or 3 years now of a concept now, and it's starting to sort of bubble up as a potential requirement for organizations. And it's part of really the, what's the abbreviation? The Secure Access Service Edge, so the SASE sort of framework that came out from, I think Gartner might have brought it out. In effect, SASE is part of a sort of four main traits. You know, it's all around, you know, identity-driven access. The infrastructure and solutions are all in the cloud, and they're all delivered that way. So they're almost the sort of SaaS solutions or security as a service. It's able to support, you know, the SASE sort of traits. You know, is it supports all edges, so physical, digital, logical, that can be protected, and it's globally distributed. Which seems like quite sort of high level sort of parts, but some of the key parts to SASE, I hope I'm saying that, yeah, and pronouncing that right, or the acronym for that. But it kind of details into sort of six areas, and that is they are kind of technology areas or solution areas. And that is, you know, software defined wide area network. So not necessarily, you know, big networks, it's all, you know, in effect over VPNs, kind of doing that sort of as a WAN. You've got firewall as a service, which, you know, sound, you know, says what it is on the tin. You've got secure web gateways, so that is protecting, you know, network going out to the internet, so you know, web content filtering, blocking malicious URLs, and stopping, you know, malware from being downloaded and things like that. So they kind of act as your, I suppose, not to say traditionally, but they were known as proxies, you know, when you're all on premise. You've now got one of the other areas is now Zero Trust Network Access, ZTNA. So this is doing, you know, checks when you try and access resources on premise, and only providing you access to specific things on the network rather than the whole. So, you know, could a traditional network or traditional VPN would allow you access to the whole network, and then it'd be based on the firewalls, firewall configuration to specify what resources you could talk to. But that might be specific to everyone that goes through that VPN solution, and not necessarily, you know, the individuals or the group of users. Kind of the two last areas is Cloud Access Security Broker. So, you know, adding to, you know, what we have as Microsoft Defender Cloud Apps in the Microsoft world, and then centralized and unified management. So being able to do, you know, manage all these sort of solutions in a single place, a single platform. So that's kind of the SASE side of things. So the Security Service Edge, SSE, is sort of a subset of some of those technologies. So it's part of sort of the SASE sort of solution. It's a bundle of managing or the areas that are sort of cloud security services related. So this is really looking around, web gateways, the CASB side of things, and ZTNA side of things. So protecting, you know, access to internal resources, the access to the internet, as well as protecting your SaaS applications. So that's kind of the key areas where SSE kind of as a solution, as a framework, kind of sits. And in effect, why would organizations be looking to implement this? Well, traditionally, some of this solution might be just on-premise. So you may have today the requirement for all your users to go for a proxy to do your secure web gateway. And this might not be a cloud service, or that might be a service that only does that part of it. And in effect, you have to VPN, you might have to VPN the users all onto your on-premise network, then go through your network appliances, your physical, virtual appliances there that managing that service. So that incurs potential cost on having a VPN solution that's pulling everyone to your network, and then they've got to come out of that network to in effect go to the services they're allowed to. So that means that users' access to the internet, to their to 365, to in effect everything they probably do today, is reliant on hardware and your networking infrastructure, which means that you've got to build in resilience across that environment, which causes potential complexities in that environment. Not always, but as you're adding more hops and things like that into the way that the user has to go to access services, then there's more points of failure along that route. So with it being bringing in an SSE solution, that is all cloud, cloud managed, cloud driven. The users and their endpoints go off, over their internet pipe, wherever they might be, to this service edge, to then be managed, what access they have, how they access your on-premise, and how they access the SaaS, SaaS services. And then that's managed, in effect up there. So there's less reliance on on-premise infrastructure. It might be that actually you're looking to move to the cloud, move as much into SaaS solutions, rather than maybe you've got some IaaS infrastructure service in Azure, or the other clouds, but trying to reduce costs that way, and then bring it into a subscription and things like that. So I think that's why organizations look to do it, because users not necessarily always in the office, maybe work from home, or having, maybe simplifying your sites to only have, a plain internet connection now, with a VPN solution, maybe for, the servers that might be on site for certain things like printers, things like that. And then allowing them to go up to the internet, because, 60-70% of their, users, interaction for the organization might be SaaS applications. So yeah, I think that's why organizations would start to look at this. Some of this, like I said, might have some of it already in place, but maybe across multiple vendors, or some of it is reliant on physical virtual appliances that are needed to allow to broker the user's sort of data or user's sort of internet access.
So are we sort of seeing a cloud approach for networking architectures and appliances? Is that sort of fair to say, because our workloads are shifting? Well, okay, let's generalize it. So some workloads are shifting from on-prem into the cloud, and there's other SaaS sort of line of business applications as well, right? That sort of network traffic, it's not all on-prem anymore. It's remote workforce accessing remote solutions. So maybe having sort of the your central network universe being on-prem now might just not be viable today, if that makes sense, because you're effectively proxying a lot of that traffic through your on-premise internet connections, right?
It's coming down to that sort of perimeter sort of scenario, isn't it? That your perimeter now isn't your data center or your site anymore. It's every, you know, your perimeter is so now vastly wide, I guess. This is kind of feels like this is doing a similar thing, that your endpoints have to go to this, you know, secure service edge before they can access anything. But it's not an on-premise, you know, environment. It's a cloud service kind of thing. So then that's your, you know, affect your partially your perimeter to at least, you know, the internet and applications and your on-premise in effect.
Yeah. And if you are moving workloads into Azure, your new infrastructure sort of location is Azure, right? You know, and traditionally all of that networking kit and appliances would have sat, you know, there to support that infrastructure previously. So in some respects, it makes sense for it to be there now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, from that perspective, yeah. That you're closer, you know, I mean, we're talking now more around global secure access, aren't we? From the perspective of where you may sort of tunnel into or out of to. But I suppose from a service edge, it is from the internet, so you will be on some, or you deem to be on some good internet pipes, you know, from the egress point of that service to the resources that you need to access. So, you know, like Azure and AWS and GCP, etc., or other SaaS solutions.
Okay, so yeah, it sounds like piecing a lot of this together sounds like it's its own skill set. Do you want to just talk about and introduce Entra Global Secure Access and what it's trying to achieve?
Yeah, so Entra Global Secure Access is Microsoft's security service edge. It is identity centric, so it's all about what the, you know, it's based on the identity of the user and what they're allowed to access. It bakes into it's kind of broken down to three parts. So the three parts are Entra Private Access, which is kind of the Zero Trust Network Access sort of part of it. You've got the Entra Internet Access, and from a high level, that is in effect the, you know, the secure web gateway part of it, and some more. And then the third part is Internet Access for Microsoft 365. So specifically, you know, Microsoft 365 as the SaaS solution, and that is quite interesting in itself around the sort of concept of that. So that's kind of how it ties together. Oh, that's the three sort of areas. And in effect, access to various solutions or the mechanism for securing the different types of access there is baked into what we always talk about, but is conditional access. So conditional access, if no one sort of knows about what it is. It's a mechanism within Entra ID to allow you to control when a user has access to resources. So it might be Microsoft 365, it might be to a SaaS application that's integrated, might be to the Azure pool. And with it, you can use signals like where the user's coming from, what device they're on, their location, their IP, you know, has it been deemed as malicious, that IP address, or, you know, things like that, and the compliance of the device. And using those signals, you can then determine what type of access they have or what they need to do to get access, which might be an MFA prompt, might be they need to use a phishing-resistant MFA, you know, authentication for maybe a more sensitive application or for an admin role. And it's all based on groups and things like that as well, so different users can have access. So using that sort of mechanism, we can now say that part of those sort of three areas, based on this criteria, certain users can have access to different resources and having to perform potential MFA prompts or be on certain devices to access them from a managed, you know, from a managed endpoint at this point.
Nice. So yeah, very highly integrated with the rest of the, you know, Microsoft security stack. That's probably fair to say, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the kind of the point to it. And you know, if I'll dive into these a bit more sort of now. So really, if we talk about actually the internet access to Microsoft 365, what this is doing is within conditional access, there is in effect a new area for locations or network locations, which is called compliant network. So what we can force now is that when you're accessing Microsoft 365, you have to be on a compliant network. So had you become a compliant network where you, in effect, you have to come from the Microsoft Global Secure Access sort of network. So it's probably actually worth talking a little bit about that, actually, is that the Global Secure Access, whilst it's got these sort of three areas, when you connect, you're in effect running across Microsoft global backbone to the services themselves. So you're in effect using the Microsoft network once from the, you know, from the device to the security service edge, Global Secure Access, you're then running across the Microsoft's, you know, backbone to then the services there. So once you sort of come in and then you've been authenticated against that network, in effect, against your tenant, you're then deemed as being on a compliant network, which then means you can say you can have access to 365. So it's another check that you can do now to make sure that, and I guess your traffic is technically, you know, encrypted, even though, you know, 365 is across, you know, SSL and things like that anyway, but it's in fact, you know, encrypted up to the service edge. But the great thing really about that sort of connection, so this means that traditionally, I suppose, you might say that to access 365, you have to come from the corporate network. You have to come from a VPN, which was a good way to stop, you know, basically allowing anyone to access it from anywhere to prevent those compromised accounts being used against the environment, because you'd say you have to come from, you know, the corporate network. So you'd have to come from a managed device. But now, because we can prove that we're on a managed device using the in going through the Global Secure Access tunnel, in effect, we can now do that from anywhere. So you now don't have to, you now secure 365, you know, potentially that way. But some of the main things as well is that you can, because we're saying it's got to come from that compliant network, we can prevent attacks with, you know, with users or malicious people, malicious attackers doing token theft. One of the things actually on here, Sam, which was quite interesting, is that they suggest that this is around data loss prevention controls, which I thought was quite interesting. And the reason for that is that you can actually restrict users from going to different tenants using this. So you can stop them going from to their test tenant, because technically, I suppose, you might allow users to go to SharePoint or to OneDrive or to Outlook.com or services. From a secure web gateway, you know, are allow Office 365, but they can switch to their tenant and potentially attempt to send, you know, upload files to, you know, that OneDrive or to another organization.
Yeah, because I suppose sort of basic web filtering controls would only be able to sort of whitelist URLs, nothing else from that, right?
From the service,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, opening a private browser window and then logging into...
Just switching tenants.
Yeah, true.
It stops that because it says you're not allowed to go to the other tenant because it's not trusted.
Yeah, Okay. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
So that's really even good. That's even quite crazy in itself as well. Because,
yeah,
it, you know, in theory, people can be invited, can't they, to any tenant? I don't think you can restrict anyone
like B2B,
from.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can stop, you know, that and only doing, you know, ones that are, you know, you're allowed to go to from an organization perspective.
Yeah, really good.
So yeah, that's kind of that part, and that I mean, that bit's quite powerful in itself, just that, you know, that there. So that's the internet access for 365. So then if we move on to just Entra Internet Access. So this is then looking at, in effect, you know, web content filtering, URL blocking, and things like that, in effect, against the users themselves. So this kind of, like I said before, this is probably more traditional security web gateway, where you can specify categories depending on the user groups, things like that. But what's interesting is that you can, because it's built into conditional access, you can actually say that you want to go to a more sensitive site or site that you don't normally go to. Yes, you could normally be blocked, but for some of them, you could actually ask for MFA or additional MFA for it. So you could say, actually, if I want to access the, I don't know, I can't think of a website that you'd want to go to that you'd need more secure access from.
Think of some like legacy line of business app that doesn't have MFA, maybe.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I was thinking of a different way of it, but yeah, anything that's not that's not integrated into Entra, in effect, you can perform MFA in front of it. You're absolutely right, or at least have to have performed MFA to access it. So it could be anything. It could be, I can't think of any now. It's like, let's say Facebook. It's not, you know, maybe social media, the marketing side of things.
You maybe actually, use Facebook Workplace or something like that. Even though
I think you can integrate that. That's the problem.
Oh yeah, okay.
yeah. Okay, anyway.
some line of business application that somebody
maybe
internally
it's, maybe it's
made
a site that
years
you have,
ago.
Yeah, maybe it's a site where you do orders for your business. You know, where you have to purchase things. There's no MFA in front of it. Maybe that's an easier one. You want to put MFA on it when they're accessing it from, you know, their devices. Maybe you've got a password, you know, password manager, so they don't actually know the password. It's all stored in there. They can't reveal it, but they can access it. So they can only do that on their devices. But you want to put MFA in front of it to make sure it's them, so that someone doesn't go and purchase 200 barbecues or something.
So, I love it.
Yes. It's not like I've just bought a barbecue. That's why it came top of mind. But
no, definitely
anyway.
Not. No.
But anyway, so you can put that in front of it. What's great as well, and this is probably similar to other secure web gateways, is that you can have a baseline, you know, policy that says everything is blocked, or majority of things are blocked, and then you can put policies on top and prioritize them. So you can say, yeah, all users are generally blocked at, I don't know, AI, maybe not AI, but personal, you know, OneDrive. But, you know, this subset of users are allowed to use it because that's the only way they can access their clients', you know, data or something like that. Maybe there's a scenario for that. And you can layer it up like that. I guess in theory as well, some of the other Entra sort of solutions, around governance, you could have an access work package that says you're allowed to access this category of websites or this websites for X amount of time, for say 3 days or something, because you need to do it. So you can start building in just in time access, I guess, potentially to web, you know, websites and things like that, which is quite an interesting concept as well around that. So that's kind of, web content filtering. Like I said, it can be done by domain URLs, or the domain names, I should say, as well as the categories. And when you've if anyone's had a look at this or the web categories from Defender for Endpoint, which are device based categories, I think it's fair to say there's quite a few categories, but they weren't very granular. They're very sort of, it's fair to say they're sort of high level in there. With this one, there is a lot more categories in there. You know, it is broken down a lot more. And as well, with this time, you can also generate your URLs, your domains to add as well, or to allow there. So there's things like some of the categories here. It's like dating and personal, criminal activity, and there's a few others there as well. So that's generally, you know, Entra Internet Access, and again that's then running across the Microsoft backbone as well. And then if we come to Entra Private Access, so this is very similar. So I don't know if anyone has used Microsoft Entra application proxy, where you can redirect your websites in effect down, you know, from your browser down to on-premise in sort of environment. So again, yeah, surface websites to your users and put MFA on it. This sort of is similar to that, but superly enhanced, I guess, as a word that doesn't really make sense. But this is in effect, there is an upgraded in effect application proxy. But what this allows you to do is this allows you to, in effect, communicate with anything on your on-premise network where there's an app proxy. Or I think they've called it Private Access Connector now. I think they've just rebranded it all. And it's any sort of service, but also any port, where previously we were limited to 80 and 443. Now it can be anything. It could be and any service. So it could be RDP. It could be SMB, file shares, anything like that. So when you create policies, you can now specify potentially have a policy for a service and specify all the internal URLs you need to access and all the ports for those URLs or for those services or servers. And then that service can then be attached to specific users. So even though, you know, the app proxy or the private access connector is sat in your environment, and may have access to the various services for all users, it's only specified by conditional access who has access to what services. So that's bringing in that zero trust network access part. So forcing MFA or different types of MFA depending on the different services. Maybe if you're RDPing, a privileged access workstation, you know, we can force, you know, enforce 502 keys, you know, phishing resistant MFA there to access it, to prove that your device is clean before you access it. You know, there may be some other things like that that you can do. Maybe it's access to a file share that you need to, which maybe you access all the time. Previously you had to connect to a VPN. This is now all sort of seamless in the background to the user. So that's generally the private access side of things. It is potentially removing the requirement to sign up to a VPN and do MFA, you know, once in effect against a single connection. This is now potentially across all of those different types of connections you might be making. So there might be different requirements. You know, it might be a requirement that you can't access a file share when you're outside the UK, but you can access the RDP session. It can be that granular with it.
Yeah, I can that specific scenario, I can imagine that's going to be very useful for data compliance, sovereignty, potentially. You know, I do kind of get that in some respects, if you're physically located in a different place, you know, are you really, you know, exfiltrating data to a different country or processing it in a different country? But I suppose if you do have those hard and fast requirements, being able to sort of be that granular is sort of another level of flexibility, right? Because this sits sort of at the application level, if that's fair to say, doesn't it? You know, it's not that one singular big like VPN pipe. It's every single connection that you make, I assume, is evaluated,
yeah,
and prioritized for any other requirements that might need to go on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've, from the MFA perspective, when I've been testing it, I haven't seen many MFA prompts, but that is because I'm using Windows Hello for Business. And when that's used, that acts, because it's using the TPM, it's acting as a second factor. So generally, when I access 365 and that from my managed device, my MFA is performed that way at a phishing resistant level without knowing about it, which is, you know, amazing. It's only when I had to actually, you know, not break, but unenroll from Windows Hello and have to try and remember my password again for my account to actually see, you know, the MFA prompt in effect. So even potentially with the user, it might be seamless to them if you're using Windows Hello for Business, because that's doing that MFA sort of factor. Providing you sign in with Windows Hello, then it's acting, it's proving that your token is, you know, valid in effect for that log on for that endpoint. So
yeah, and again, another integration, another part of the ecosystem, right? You know, that is all the way from the device and integrated through, right? Just to, and dare I say it about Microsoft, no offense Microsoft, but, you know, really improving that user experience, right? You know.
Yeah, and probably another thing to sort of mention, because that all, in effect, the user traffic is all going up through the you know, Entra Global Secure Access. In effect, there's a lot more logging. So there's a lot more we can detect from, you know, what's happening in SharePoint and SharePoint and Teams, and potentially, you know, Exchange as well. So there's more, auditing there. And it can also detect applications that users are, you know, accessing as well, and maybe services. So it's kind of also, because we kind of mentioned CASB sort of previously, but I think this might be another way of collecting that user activity as well, maybe being more granular about what they're actually accessing. Because we know that with MDA, Microsoft Defender Cloud Apps, sometimes that the cloud discovery is right in what it's seeing, but sometimes I think we've seen with a couple of our customers, haven't we, Sam, that the services back onto, you know, AWS CDNs and things like that, and we don't truly see what the actual application is. So I think this might help with that.
Yeah, no, that seems it seems really powerful. So Alan, how do you deploy it?
Okay, so in effect for the endpoints, there is a client. So for Windows, Mac, Android, and iOS is going to be supported. I think some of them are in private preview, or what's the term for? Is it flight test on Apple?
Test flight.
Test point, yeah. So we're in that sort of that scenario at the moment. For Android, you actually install the Defender for Endpoint app, and then that is used to in effect tunnel the data through the Global Secure Access. For Windows and Mac, I think there's just a client that you install, and then you sign into it. And then that in effect, and what you do is you sign into that service. And I think you only sign into it once, and then it knows that your, in effect, your account on your device is then sort of matched alongside it. And then it starts building the policies and things like that that you're assigned to. And generally sort of checks for policy updates as and when it needs to. So that kind of gives you the process for, you know, connecting at least to the service from the endpoints. You then, like I said before, do your configuration in the entry portal. You have to sort of enable the service and a few things like that. And then, yeah, build policies and you know, apply them using conditional access to the users to actually, you know, be enforced. And then for the access to on-premise or, you know, infrastructure service based sort of services, I kind of mentioned it before, you do have to deploy the private access connectors, I think they're called, or in effect the upgraded app connector. And they are sort of outbound internet traffic, so you don't have to, you know, tunnel into your network. They are, you know, they're looking at services or waiting for service connections from Entra, from the Entra sort of back end. And you can group those depending on the services. So it might be that if you've got a data center, you may have a connection within there for a service, and then other connectors for different sort of other scenarios. So you can be quite granular with how you control access in your network environment. And there is probably a step there to talk about designing as and, you know, where those connectors sit, what access they have, and kind of, you know, things like that. So it's sort of an architecture sort of design for that, which, you know, you would have for any sort of SSE sort of solution. And then that's pretty much, I say that's pretty much it. Really, a lot of the sort of deployment isn't necessarily deploying the agent or deploying the app proxy. It's more around the design of the architecture of the network inside of things, potentially, or at, you know, like I said, where you put those connectors, but also the policies, you know, how many policies do you want to have? How do you layer them? What services do you want to allow access to on, you know, on premise or in data centers? Who needs access? All those sort of different combinations there. So that's where the sort of complexity, I guess, all the designing side of things, you know, takes place. But generally, to get started, it's, you know, it's relatively easy, I guess, to get started.
Yeah, it seems, yeah, really, and well, yes, it's a cloud service, isn't it? You know, it's almost, I don't know, a bit underwhelming in some respects. Well, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're talking for like 40 minutes, and I just said to sort of in 5 minutes, how yeah, in a very high level, you know, how easy it is to get started sort of thing. And that's probably quite true on how easy it is to get started. It's just then, like I said, it's just then, okay, now how do I map out who needs what access? It's, you know, because it is all identity driven. So it's then working out all those scenarios and then mapping them out and then building the policies.
Yeah, and I suppose we've got to think about the inverse relationship of the features, you know, like the number of features and sort of value add versus the deployment and sort of maintenance and upkeep time, right? So if we just take money out of the equation a second, that is important, obviously. But in terms of, like, for us sort of technical folk of getting it implemented, using it, you know, just generally in the cloud, you have, sometimes you don't have feature parity, I suppose is fair to say, but you have a vastly lower sort of maintenance, onboarding, deployment, you know, and sort of technical resource requirement. You know, you're just effectively saying, you know, install a client, which you can probably, you know, if you've got sort of, you know, modern endpoint management, you can deploy that client assume relatively trivially, if not just one click. And then, you know, you do some configuration and things are set up. There is no appliances to configure. You know, there's nothing to physically do, if that makes sense. Which is,
no, I think,
when it comes
to
networking, there's... just very different to the quotes and all, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there may, you know, there'd be like, you know, maybe a couple of minutes for, you know, the service you're in your tent to spin up, maybe, but that's probably about it.
Yeah, exactly.
At the moment, anyway.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. What about licensing and cost and sort of where it is in terms of its product journey?
Okay, so at the moment it's in public preview, and at the moment you only need a Entra Plan 1 license or any combination that has that to partake in the public preview. So today you can try in effect everything out under, you know, public preview sort of licensing. So in effect, I gotta say for free, but you know, whilst it's in public preview, you can access it in effect. At the moment we don't know what the licensing is going to look like. It's not currently public, and it's still being, you know, finalized by Microsoft at the moment. So we don't know what the cost is going to be either. But at a sort of an idea of, you know, Microsoft, you know, hitting this sort of this market, because this is kind of the first product in the SSC sort of networking, from an endpoint perspective, sort of solution, I would probably guess it's going to be quite competitive to some of the other competitors like Zscaler and things like that. So yeah, we'll just have to see. We don't have any idea yet when it's going to go, you know, generally available GA, but it's definitely worth, you know, trying it out, seeing, you know, what some of that functionality is, even if you just trial it on a test machine, you know, just to get an idea of its capability. And then I guess it will then be a decision as to whether the cost at, you know, is reasonable enough to help with the, you know, the issues you might be having, or to replace the current solution you have, and simplify things. That's, you know, that's the aim for it all. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, definitely a very exciting, I'm going to call it an addition, you know, because I do feel it's a completely like new thing for Microsoft, isn't it? You know, to have this fully managed solution, because some of this, I mean, you can build SD-WAN in, you know, Azure, can't you? Or the, you know, individual components. I know this isn't the same thing, but you can effectively transit through Azure and sort of move your networking topology up to there, right?
Yeah.
So, but as a fully managed solution, except for requiring certain things, you know, like client applications or other, you know,
the connectors into your actual on-premise environment.
Yeah.
But that's kind
exactly.
of expected, I guess.
Yeah, you know, you're going to need something. Something's got to be there in order to, yeah, proxy that traffic, right? So to have it so well integrated as well with Entra, right? Because, you know, we are looking at this not just from a device, and I think you sort of called it out on your when you were talking about the web filtering that we've got with Defender. You know, this is all user based and it's all session based really as well, right? And application based. So it's sort of multiple tiers up the hierarchy, if that makes sense, right? So, you know, and if you want that integration, I mean, the commercials have to stack up, and also that, you know, people are going to have to skill into this area potentially. But, you know, I can assume that tight integration could be very valuable for organizations.
Yeah, definitely. There's just something else I just need to see. Because again, this is, you know, this solution is, there are some private preview parts to it that are in the, what do you call it? The customer connection program for Entra. And there's some interesting things there that are happening as well on top of what, you know, I've already sort of announced that I can't talk about, which also are, you know, quite exciting in various ways. But I think there's a part that I thought was public, but isn't. So I'll have to backtrack from that. Unfortunately.
Well, that's a teaser for a GA announcement.
I thought it was public, but I can't say anything about it. So I can't, I'd rather be safer than sorry with that.
Well, on that note, thanks for taking us through GS Allen. It looks like a really positive product. Very interested to see it out in the world, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no worries. Hopefully I did it justice. We must speak for 15 minutes with it. So, okay, so what's the next episode then, Sam?
Next episode is going to be April news. So every month, the first episode of the month is the news from the previous month. I sort of cover Azure infrastructure related updates. Alan generally tends to cover security related changes. Last month was a bumper month. I haven't looked at the list yet, so I can't comment. We should have, we pick out our top topics, that sort of interest us. There's much more than what we just talk about. And we sort of wrap it into a single episode to keep you guys up to date.
Cool. Yeah, I do wonder what's been released. I haven't looked either from the Microsoft side, from the, you know, security XDR side of things anyway. Okay. So did you enjoy this episode? If so, please do consider leaving us a review on Apple or Spotify. This really helps us reach out to more people like yourselves. If you have any specific feedback or suggestions for our episodes, we have a link in our show notes to get in contact with us.
Yeah. And if you've made it this far, thanks very much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah. Thanks all.